I'm going to have somebody read that because I really didn't have it all written out. But I want to look at a couple things, and I really think we're supposed to just kind of go back to where we started a little bit too, and even end with some ministry things. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25, if somebody could pull it up for me. And when you have it, if you could read really loud, or I could give you a mic. I see Sandra smiling. She don't have a Bible with her? Oh, my goodness.
If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit.
All right, really a verse with in-depth understanding. But I kind of want to start there just for a minute to talk about that and then go back into 2 Corinthians. But in there it talks about if we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. That word live, this last week I was doing some studying while we were up there, and we had church up there with Jim and Barb, and one of the things that verse just kept on hanging with me and hanging with me and hanging with me, and I was like, well, why? That's just a simple thing. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. That's just common sense. And but I began to look at that word live, and what that word live means, it means life, alive, or quicken. And so what it's talking about is that if you are in a place where you have life that comes from the Spirit of God, if you're in a place where you're quickened by the Spirit of God, if you're in a place where you where you're alive and it's because of the Spirit of God, if that's the truth, then there's a place where it's like it's an exhortation saying, it's like, if you know how to touch the Spirit of God, then learn how to walk in it all the time. Is really what it's saying. If you know how to touch the Spirit of God, if you know how to be alive and get the life of God, even that place where Glenn did, where we stepped into meditation, if you know how to touch the presence of God, then learn how to walk step by step in the Spirit of God. And sometimes we make it complicated, but a lot of times, I don't know, sometimes it seems like... even when we talk about healing or different things, it's like, well, how do you do that? How do you quite figure that out? But a lot of times it's just that continually walking with the Spirit. It's not some of the different things, which is amazing to me. There's sometimes that in the middle of something, the Lord will just say, hey, do that. And I was like, oh, all right. And I'll just kind of throw it out there. And it's just like, you know, I'm going about my way. I don't know, but well, when I get in God's presence, I love His presence, and I really enjoy myself. I have a good time, and it's not just about me having a good time, but I enjoy God. I just get in the flow, and I've had times in the middle of service where God will say, hey, why not do that? Pray for healing. I'm like, all right. We had, which is funny, we went up to Jim and Barb's, and that's an illustration come to my mind when Glenn was talking. Some years back, Barb got in a bad wreck. And she hurt her back, and she had bad neck pain for years and years. Oh, she broke her neck. Okay, but just messed up, and so we were just doing a worship service one day, and we were in Bismarck, the church there, and it's like worship service, and you know God's just good, and it's like, yeah, God's awesome. You're just, you know, and sometimes people think, boy, they're really thinking what to do, and sometimes I'm not. I'm just like, hey, man, God is really awesome, and so doing that, and God said, you know what? Why don't you pray for Barb, for her neck? I'm like, all right. And it wasn't like a deep thing. It was just like learning how to walk in the Spirit. And what happened is like I said, Barb, I said, would you come here? I said, God just kind of said, we should pray for your back because it was bothering her bad. And so she came up, which was really the funniest part of the story too, was when she came up, she's like, I'm going up there, but I'm not falling down. And we were meeting in a hotel, and it had really like the floors were like concrete, and in Bismarck, and she come walking up, and I say, you know, and Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, and she just, the power of God hit her, no one caught her, man, she hit that concrete, and some people fall like a feather, hers was ugly, she bounced off that concrete, and her husband Jim jumped up, and he's like, And her kids jumped up, and I'm like, I said, if God knocks them down, he can catch them. I said, that's all I know. And so we kept going. And so they were worried. She laid there for most of the service. When she got up, you know what? She wasn't hurt. She was healed. She was healed and never bothered her again. And so my brother-in-law is like, yeah, if God knocks him down, he can get. I said, no, I just said that. I said, that's really not doing that all the time. we'll still try to do some things, you know. But it wasn't a great spiritual. See, here's the thing. Signs and wonders follows those who believe. It doesn't follow those who are so spiritual that no one else can keep up with them. That's not what it says. It doesn't say signs and wonders follow those who are fine-tuned and have been holy all week long. It doesn't say that. It says it follows those who believe enough to walk with him step by step. And that is not a deep, I want to say that because that's not some deep faith. Baby Christians operate in this. This is just believing him. Believe him enough that when he shows you something, that you step out. And a lot of times, we've seen several people get healed. The one gal here who went for the stuff where she had cancer and they couldn't find it. You know what it was? It was a group of ladies got around her and just prayed. Say, hey, you know what? Let's just pray. And isn't that God? That's just as much God as any televangelist deal doing a deal. That's God. And so, some of those things, we've got to make sure that we don't begin to make something of them that they're not. Because at times, he'll just do things. One of the key things Glenn said is a lot of times it's being open enough to ask him. What's going on? I know we've had times in the past where I've been out in public kind of thing, and I had one time where all of a sudden I could barely walk, and I missed it. See, here's the thing. You'll learn just as much from missing as you do from getting it right. So don't be afraid to try. But I was like, I could barely walk. And I was like, what in the world is wrong? You know, now here's the thing. I was a skinny kid. I was like, I couldn't even use the excuse of being overweight or not. I was like, oh, I can barely walk. And went down the deal. And finally I said, Lord, what are you doing to me? And he says, I was showing you what that woman's going through that you just went past. I wanted you to pray for her. He says, you need to pay attention to me when I do stuff. And I was like, oh, man, it grieved me. I was like, oh, man, God, I'm sorry. Really miss that. But see, here's the thing is that God is always active. He's always moving. He's always doing things. And we have to just be looking, see what he says. You know. And the thing is, too, is don't be afraid if you miss it. Don't be afraid if you miss it. God is more interested in the intent of your heart towards him than he is the process of how you get something done. He's more interested in what you got in here with him than he is about how refined you are. He's more interested with that. And so those are just some basics. That 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. If someone has that, they can read that. Jackie's Bible, small print, and if I read it, I'll mess it up right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. You got that, Jackie?
Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled.
Okay, this is just another part of what Glenn's talking about. Listen, the biggest thing about understanding how when God moves, here's the key. God is the one moving. It's not as much you, it's God. But it's us being in step with him. So a lot of times what happens is that we have to make sure that we're just hearing him clearly. And when it talks about pulling down high and lofty things, here's a high and lofty thing. When I see somebody and I'm looking at them and I'm like, I don't think God can heal them. That's a high and lofty thing. See, sometimes we're like, well, I'm talking about demons and spirits and spirits in high place. No, no, no. Anything that goes against who God is a high and lofty thing. Because when God says this is the way it is, anything that speaks different is a lie. And so what happens is that there's a place where a big part of God moving has to do with us seeing things the way God sees them and making sure that we're not getting where other people are getting stuck on things. Example of that is like some of the stuff we've done up in North Dakota in Fort Totten when we moved there. I hardly met anybody who was excited about us moving into that place. I had spiritual leaders telling us, no one has ever started nothing here. It'll never work. There isn't a church that's ever had success here. You'll get run out. But here's what had to happen is somewhere we had to get in a place to say, well, what does God say? Here's what God said. God said, this is going to be good. And you know what other people are saying? It ain't going to be good. And God was saying, it's going to be good. And I'm like, okay. And then we had some people say, you know, let's put Damon and Jackie over there, and that way they can die, and we'll get rid of them. And we were part of a denomination that was like, we can send them there, and they'll die. And that was kind of true. I'm kind of making fun of it, but it wasn't really that funny. They sent us there dying. And we got there. You know what? It was really cool. We had fun, and we watched people who knew nothing about God get saved, and we watched them get on fire. We watched them get off alcohol. We watched them get off drugs. We watched God heal people. We watched miracles happen. The denomination we were part of at that time, I'm not talking bad about them, but I want you to understand. Here's the thing you need to understand. If you want God to move, you got to be seeing what He's seeing. And all of a sudden, we had money that began to come to us, sometimes 30,000 at a time, from churches I didn't know about on the East Coast, where the East Coast is a rough place to be at times. They've got an attitude and everything else, but I'm telling you what, man, they were hearing God, and it's like, man, we want to give the first 30,000, another 20,000. We hardly had anything come from the denomination we did, and we built an entire church, probably about a quarter. Back then, it had been at least a quarter million or more, a quarter million, yeah. Yeah, 300,000 at least, and all we owed was $10,000 on it when we're done. And so, but what happened is that we had that, and we had, I think it was like 90 or 100 chairs, and some Sundays we would have every chair filled, and we had people standing in the back. And so here's the thing. It's not about, I'm going to tell you the honest truth, and I can say this today as well as I can then. It wasn't because me and Jackie were great. It's because God was great. Here's what God looks for. God looks for someone who will stand in the gap. And this is for healing. This is for anything. He looks for somebody who will stand in the gap, because there's a place when you look at now, or even when Sunday morning, how many people need healed sometimes? Quite a few. But what happens is, as that time is, God is saying, I'm looking for someone to work through. I'm looking for someone to stand in the gap and to believe things the way I believe. Because if you are a believer and you believe, then those signs will happen. Why? Because God's looking for a believer. He's not looking for someone who has high and lofty thoughts that cancel out what God knows can be done. And so some of the things that when we went up to that reservation, a high and lofty thought was, it'll never be done. Who do you think you are to say it'll never be done when God says it's being done? That's arrogant. That's a lofty thought, you know, and when you begin to get into that, so understand it, a high and lofty is just not somewhere, it's very real today, and the thing is, too, is that it's just coming into the place of believing with Him and let God be God. Let Him be God, and if you're wrong, you're wrong, and the truth is, if you just look in the mirror every day and say, I'm probably wrong, you might be right, because it's true. But it's not about that. It's about believing Him and stepping out and being willing to do it. It's about hearing God in that moment, what needs to be done. God, what are you wanting to do? What do you want to do? I've got someone here who needs this. What do you want to do? I always get a kick out of, we've had times throughout ministry, and salvation is just as powerful a miracle as getting healed, where someone will say, well, my family member is dying, but they hate everything about Jesus, and they don't want to hear nothing about Him. And I'd be like, well, can I see Him? And sometimes you're like, well, I don't know. This could be bad. this could be real bad. But I've had some where when I heard that, I'm like, I need to see him. And they're like, well, I don't know. I said, I do. I want to see. You know what happens is, as God shows up and they get saved, and the whole family goes, what in the world just happened? You know what happened? Is someone decided to see what God's seen and believe what God's doing. That's how we walk in the flow. If we have life and we're connected to him in moments in the Spirit, if I have that place of anointing and vision, in a moment, it says in a word that don't just do it in the moment, learn how to walk it every day. Learn how to walk in that every day. Learn how to see it every day. Because God will do it. There's some people who are throughout the years who are great friends of ours that when I first seen them, they weren't saved, and they were, some of them were just big jerks, honestly. And my brother-in-law Jim is one of them. Actually, I had a deal where I threw him out of my truck one time before he was saved, because I finally said I had enough. Yeah, because he got me so irritated. I was like, "You're too dumb to be in my truck. You're walking." And but God used that anyways, because see, here's the thing: God cares more about intention than he does how wise you are. And but you know what? He loves the Lord, and he's my friend. And I don't have to worry about him and say, Lord, I just hope he's saved. I know he's saved. And I know there's a work of God working on the inside of him. But what happened is that when you look out and you see people, I've had God, and God told me that about him. I looked at Jim and I was like, boy, is he a jerk? And God said, yes. And he is your friend. You're going to be a friend to that man. And I know for a while I was like, do I have to? Because partway through, I'm like, God, I don't want to. He's a jerk. And when the Lord, and here's the, honestly what the Lord told me is one point with Jim is, he said, yes, you're going to be good to him no matter what he does. Because he could be bad. He could really be bad. And I said, Lord, you know, can I just turn him over for the destruction of the flesh? Because that's what I like. You know, let's give him to the Lord. Let the Lord roast him for a while. Bring him back. The Lord said, no, you're going to be his friend. And he said, 1 year from now, he said, I'm going to lay Jim on his back, and I'll meet him face to face and change his life. 1 year from that day, he was having back surgery because he got hurt in an accident that he had, and he met Jesus, and it changed his life. So here's the thing. Walking in the Spirit is about hearing him and seeing and believing what God does. Jesus said, I don't do anything that my Father does not do. And so here's the truth, is that when Jesus walked and he walked in the anointing, how many know when Jesus walked in the anointing, he never missed? I don't find a miss in the Bible. I don't find he said, well, come out, demon. That demon says, I don't think so, and leaves. You don't see that happen in the Word. You don't see Jesus pray for the blind man and he goes away blind. You don't see why, because he was in a place where he walked in step and he said, there's nothing. Everything I do is because I see my Father. I do what he does. There's also ones Jesus didn't heal. He was keeping his eye on what the Father was doing. The guy at the pool, that's just a great illustration Glenn used some time back, the Pool of Gethsemane. Jesus had to walk through hundreds of people without healing them to heal that man. And then he left. He didn't have a revival meeting or nothing. He just left. So it's about keeping in tune, and it's about learning how to keep in tune. And to do that, we just have to make sure that we're, more than anything, though, some of those lofty thoughts, we have to make sure we watch those in our life. Because a lofty, if the Lord says one day to, like, I don't know, the Lord says something like to Rachel, one day she sees someone at work who's just an awful person, just being miserable, and God says, you know, Rachel, just go over and pray for her. We got to take our thoughts captive if we want to believe and do what he does. Because sometimes, here's what I know, is that the Spirit speaks to us a lot. He's always speaking to us, but many times our high and lofty thoughts, our thoughts that are the opposite of God's thoughts, get in the way. You should go visit that person. You're like, ah, not that person. You know, that person, it's like me, you should be his friend. Do I have to? Can somebody else be their friend? You know, you should be their friend. Or that person there, you should pray for. if you see somebody who's walking around somewhere and they're hurt, pray for them. If God says pray for them, pray for them. You don't know what's going to happen. And it might not even be up to you to know what's going to happen, but somewhere it's about getting past what I think and how I feel and say, God, I really want to be in step with how you feel. Because sometimes when you say things, even when we started the deal here, where Glenn said begin to imagine people in different things in their body, if there's some different areas. Honestly, I want everybody to be super honest. How many here could kind of see something, but you just didn't really want to say nothing? A lot of times we do. We just don't want to touch it. It's like, I could be wrong. We'll let somebody else be wrong. Because it's better if they're wrong than if I'm wrong. You know, and Glenn could get it right. You know, we could let Glenn do it tonight. But you know what happens is sometimes when we do that, we need to be willing to take a chance on God. Because God's way of thinking is not our way. It's not our way of doing things. And when we do it, sometimes it works. You know, so before we do that, we're going to just take a moment, we're going to kind of pray, and we're going to kind of touch some things, and we're going to pray for some different ones. But I know it's interesting, during some of those, when we started off there, God would show me a couple things too. But I was watching, I was like, Lord, here's the thing, you get better at making excuses the older you get. I'm going to find that to be true. You can make your excuses sound more holy when you get older. It's like, Lord, I'll give other people a chance today because that would be good. we do that all the time. There's all kinds of holy Christian excuses. We could write a book. But here's some of that. I mean, one of the things he was showing me was the deal. And I knew Glenn had problems with his lungs, but I didn't realize your heart was doing a deal either, all the way, I guess. Okay. But he showed me someone's side of it. It was the top side of their heart. It was just like the side of their heart needs healed. I don't know. And then Jackie was up here. She came up here and we're talking to Glenn. And Jackie's like, yeah, God told me about somebody's right knee, but I don't know who that be. And Glenn says, my right knee ain't been working this week either. I've never had problems with my right knee. And for some reason, my right knee ain't working right. Here's the thing. Don't you think God cares about all those things? I do. I do. I think God cares if you have gas. He cares if you have a headache. Why? He's a good God. He's not an embarrasser. He made you. Listen, there's a part of him that he wants you to know his blessing. It's not nothing he's embarrassed of. You know, so what I want us to do just for a second is just do that. We're gonna pray, and I want everybody just to begin to hear him for a moment. And just we're going to pray for a couple ones and kind of end that way, but I want to give us the opportunity for some ones just to hear. And here's the thing. Don't think that people are going to judge you. Because when we're here today, we're not here about judging. We're just trying to learn how to hear them. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care how good some people think I can hear them. I'm learning how to hear them. I'm learning how to perceive what he's doing. And I know talking to Glenn has not arrived at some pinnacle either. We're still trying to learn how to perceive him the right way. And so let's just close our eyes. Lord, Holy Spirit, I pray that you just begin to help us. Lord, even as we're here, begin to take us past the knowledge of hearing you and the knowledge of operating in you to the place of flowing in you, beginning to hear you, beginning to perceive you, beginning to feel you. Lord, I pray that right now. And Lord, and right now as we're here, everyone, I just want you to take a moment. I just want you to just begin to ask him, Lord, what is there something you want to show me that we need to pray for tonight before we leave? Is there some physical thing in somebody? Is there something? And just do the same thing, Glenn. Just, is there something in somebody? Is it in their head or is it in their neck? Is there something wrong? Or is there something in their arms or their shoulders or their joints or their back, their stomach, their chest, their heart? Just begin to work your way through the body. Holy Spirit, just begin to show us different things. Begin to teach us here, we pray. Lord, even as we're here right now, is there anyone, and I just want to take a moment here because we're going to pray for ones, but Is there anyone that something just sticks out? I don't care if it's just little. I just want to hear. We're not going to make a big show of anything. I just want to hear, because these things are real and we got to be able to step out and touch them at times. Anybody see anything? A shoulder? Which one? Left shoulder, maybe? Is there anybody who needs a left shoulder today? Okay. Amen. 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 Is there anyone else? Yes.
This kind of goes back to what you said earlier about when your leg wasn't working.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. This, and not taking us out of the spirit here, but understand, this is how God works. It's about perceiving him. It's not about hearing just a voice. It's about perceiving. It's like when Glenn said, I could look at someone, it's like there's just something begin to connect there, and there's something happening there. And it's like I could perceive it. I can't really put word to it. I can't explain it. I can't really write out how it all works, but I know what's there. The same thing is when you feel that, and I believe that's very much so how he does things. In fact, sometimes if I start having a hard time with something, I'll ask that. And then I'll watch and I'll look for somebody who's got that problem. Yeah. Anyone else? Because we're gonna pray for Glenn here in a minute too. Yeah.
She was talking about shoulders.
Yeah.
When she was talking about shoulders, I don't have pain in my shoulders, but it's between my shoulder blades. But it's not really pain. It's more like a
something pinched maybe. Earlier when we were praying, God began to show me some things about ankles not working right. And it was like, see, here's how the Lord shows it. He shows me different things sometimes. You ever eat one of those, eat a big piece of meat and there's two bones with a joint in them? And they're kind of cooked and they don't really bend right? God says, yeah, that's somebody. And he said, I want to heal it. And but here's the thing. This is who God is. He wants to touch things, and he shows, understand, he doesn't show, and I say that kind of, a lot of times I don't just say that when I'm somewhere, but God will show you things, and you'll begin to know what they are. And so it's something, what he was showing me is somebody has a joint, and it's something about ankles, but the ankles aren't working right. They're not bending as far as they should. They're not doing what they should do. And so, anybody here have that? There's something, and we want to do here is, and understand it. Begin to, as I explain this, it sounds like I'm just doing a little bit of teaching, and I am. But God wants us to understand how He works. He doesn't want us to be ignorant of things. He wants us to know how things work. Is there anyone else here before we pray for ones? Anybody else that felt you could kind of see something? Huh?
Hip or hips.
Hip or hips? Okay. Do we have hips in here that need God's touch? Well, we keep pointing to Glenn. It's like, Glenn, no, Glenn. Oh, my goodness. Would you grab that oil, Jack? You know what we'd like to do is when we close here, we're going to just kind of come around up front. And some of you ones who you can identify, it's like, I have that. And we're going to pray for ones. We're just going to kind of go through the line and pray for ones. And I need prayer too for my hand. How many know God's gracious? Even when you mess something up, He can help it get back right. Yeah, that's one of the things I count on. God, that he can always fix the things that I break. But let's come on up front. I just want all the ones who you feel that's you. I want you to come stand up here, and then we're going to have ones kind of come around, and we're going to go right down the line, and we're going to pray.